Welcome to another episode. This is Professor Lively's class, Group 5, and we are here today to discuss Maori legends. This is Tommy speaking.
I'm Yuki.
I'm Hope.
And I'm Hannah.
And we will start this with me and the legend of Paika the Whale Rider. Any of you heard of that before?
I think maybe, but I've heard of a movie about it.
Yes, it's become very popular and mainstream. But a lot of people don't actually know the actual background as far as how deep this story does go. So let's get started. The background on the story is that Kahusha Tairangi, also known as Paika, is a notable ancestor who originated from Hawaiki, which is also known as Hawaii, according to the Maori culture. Paika assumed the name Paika because he was assisted by a whale while attempting to survive a murder attempt from his half-brother, Rautupa.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, God. It gets intense. Starting from the beginning of the story, Rautupa became offended when his father, Chief Inuku, elevated his older half-brother, Paika, ahead of him.
So he was mad that Paika was above him?
Yes, so Paika was the favorite, and he was the favorite because Rautupa was of low birth because his mother was a slave wife. So he was seen as somewhat of a illegitimate child.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
And he was very angry after being shamed by his father. So Rautupa decided to plan the murder of multiple of his brothers, including Paika. It's assumed that the other brothers were also ones who were above him as far as status. Mm-hmm. So it was not just centered on Paika. So Rautupa then lured his brothers onto a boat and sailed out into the middle of the ocean. When he was far enough away from the shore, there are different accounts of how this story plays out. Some say that Paika figured out that his brother was going to try to attempt to murder him, and he sunk the boat himself. In others, Rautupa sunk the boat and attempted to drown all of his brothers. And in some others, Rautupa began spearing his brothers one by one.
All pleasant options.
All pleasant options, yes. And ultimately, none of them survived, including Rautupa, except for Paika, who then was clinging to one of the boards of the canoe. And as he was there in the ocean alone, he called upon a goddess to send him a whale. In other accounts of the story, Paika even became a whale after he called upon the goddess. And then the story goes that he traveled from Hawaii and washed up ashore in New Zealand. And this culture, this story has been told in many different tribes and has been retold to this day. It's still very popular.
I know, like, in the movie Whale Rider, the girl, like, she rides the whale. So, like, in the version that he, like, doesn't become the whale, like, would he be, like, he rode the whale all the way to New Zealand?
He did indeed ride the whale all the way to New Zealand in that specific version of the story.
Oh, wow.
And it's become so popular that over time, the story itself is almost interpretation. You can almost pick your favorite version of the story, and it's become very well-known and mainstream.
It's very interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, what happened if he became a whale? Like, did he just
the same kind of end result is that if he were to become the whale in that version of the story, he ultimately ends up in New Zealand, and the story itself, regardless of which version, is specifically just referencing an ancestor who traveled from Hawaii to New Zealand, and it's kind of an ancestry thing as far as how the people of New Zealand originated.
Nice.
That's really cool. Wow. Yeah, actually, another animal with a great legend behind it is the kiwi bird. And it is about how the kiwi lost its wings because the kiwi is a flightless bird. And it all starts with this guy named Tanamahuta and his kids being eaten by maggots.
Lovely.
Oh. I know, right? What a great way to start a story. And so, obviously, being terrified that his kids are gonna die, he goes to his brother, Tanahokahoka, for help. And he calls upon the children of the sky, which are birds, all birds, that have beautiful wings, for help. The first bird is named Tui, and all of these birds are real birds. They aren't just names that they named the birds.
Same birds that we still see today.
Yes. Okay. So the first bird is the Tui, and all of these are native to New Zealand. And he asks Tui to please come down and help his brother's kids. And the Tui responds saying that he's afraid of the dark, so he doesn't want to. So Tanahokahoka goes to Pukeko, which is also known as an Australasian swamp hen. and he didn't want to come down because he didn't want to get his feet wet. And the third bird is called the Shining Bronze Cuckoo, but it's also known as the Pipiwarora. And he said that he could not come down because he's still building a nest. So hope is running thin, but he has one last bird to call on, and that's Kiwi. And Kiwi made the sacrifice to come down. But before he does, Tanahokahoka wants to remind him that if he does, he will lose his wings and all of his beautiful feathers. Still, Kiwi decided that it was a sacrifice he was willing to make to save the kids. And so he comes down and loses his wings and feathers and ends up saving Tanahokahoka's kids. However, Tanahokahoka punished the other birds for not coming down. And so Tui, the first bird, was given two white feathers on his neck to mark that he was a coward. And the Tui bird does actually have two white feathers on his neck. The Pukeko is forced to live in a swamp, and that is still the Pukeko's natural habitat. And the Shining Bronze Cuckoo was forced to lay all of its eggs in other birds' nests. And still to this day, the Shining Bronze Cuckoo only uses other birds' nests. But the Kiwi was rewarded with being the most popular and loved bird in all of the world.
I will say, out of all those birds, the Kiwi is the only one that sounds familiar to me.
Exactly. So the legend is true.
It is definitely the cutest. You're on the same page. Yep. On the same page.
I'm going to be honest. I looked at the Pukeko, and it is genuinely one of the ugliest birds I've ever seen. And honestly, yeah, I hope it does live in a swamp at this point, because I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how the Kiwi became the most loved and popular bird in all of the world.
Oh, that's such like an interesting story. I was going to say a cute story, but also, not a cute story.
It started with kids being eaten by maggots, so I get that.
Yeah, so actually going off of the land that you were talking about, like the swamps and everything. So you guys know about Maui, right? From Moana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen the movie.
Yeah, so, well, he's actually the center of a lot of the Maori's myths. And he actually has some islands named after him. So this story starts with Maui's brothers wanting to go on a fishing trip. And they actually leave Maui behind. So when he found that out, he hid under the floorboards of the canoe they were taking and surprised them when they were like way far out and they couldn't turn back. Yeah, he is the demigod of mischief.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So if you remember Maui, you remember he has a fish hook, right?
Big fish hook.
Yeah,
Giant big
fish hook. So it's believed that when they were fishing, he caught onto something really big and heavy under the water. And when they went to pull it up, it was actually a giant chunk of land shaped like a fish.
Wow.
So him and his brothers, they caught up this giant fish island, and they started carving out bits of this fish, which became mountains, valleys, lakes, all those other things, you know. And to this day, the Maori people call the island Te Ika a Maui, which means Maui's fish, but it's also known as the North Island. And the South Island is known as Te Waka a Maui, which is Maui's canoe, and it's believed to be the canoe that they actually went out on the ocean on. And also, they have another island called Te Punga a Maui, which is the anchor of the canoe, which I think is really cool, that they have all these islands that are based off this one story.
They're all interlinked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, another really cool fact about Maui is that in the movie, he actually did a lot of things that relate back to Maorian culture, like the haka.
So funny you mentioned the haka, because it's actually what I mainly talked about in mine. I decided to do the mythology of the haka, because I feel like we've always seen, like, the actual haka being performed, but, like, I never knew, like, the meaning behind it. So I thought it'd be cool to dive into that.
Yeah.
So it started with the sun god Tama Nui Tura and the goddess of summer, Haina Ramadi. And they had a son called Tain Ro. You guys want to know what Tain Ro did?
What did he do?
He would always dance for his mother, the sun god. And when he would dance, he would create, like, the quivering air we see on hot days. So, like, have you guys ever been driving and, like, you see, like, the little
heat waves?
Yeah, it kind of freaks me out.
You're like, wait, what is that? Like, are my eyes playing tricks? So that's actually, like, what he would, like, that would happen, like, when he would dance. And in the haka, like, when they're, like, shaking their hands and, like, doing the movement, that's actually to symbolize the heat wave or like the quivering of the air. I just thought that was, I would have never guessed that.
That's really cute that he would like dance for his mom.
I know, it's kind of sweet. And like the purpose of the haka was to show pride and strengthen the tribe and like unity even today. But back then, especially, it was used to fire up the warriors on the battlefield to get them like hyped up, ready to go, get that energy brewing. And then there's also like multiple types of hakas as well. Like I know they're like the group the All Blacks. They have like their haka term is called the Kamate, and that's it's mainly for celebrating life triumphing over death, and that's like the most celebrated one that we see today. And even now today, like non-Maori people can participate and learn the haka, which I thought was very interesting. Because like you'll see videos today, and it's like people of all different cultural and ethnicities groups like are participating, and even genders, because hakas used to be like a very like male oriented thing, and I even see women doing it like during their weddings. I was like emotional, like oh my goodness, this is hard hitting. So I thought that was so interesting.
Yeah, don't they always, they do like hakas during like sports games and stuff like beforehand?
I'm pretty sure they do.
Very popular in rugby, great sport. Nice. Yes, of course.
Rugby's one of the main, right?
It is one of the main sports where you see a lot of hakas.
That's nice.
Across all cultures. Beautiful stories from everyone. I think that we learned a lot and there was a lot of good content there. And I appreciate everyone listening in and we look forward to seeing you next time. Goodbye from Tommy.
Goodbye from Yuki.
Goodbye from Hope.
And goodbye from Hannah.
Until next time.